This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
We are locked and loaded right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 4 p.m. to sit in for my guy, Chris Russell. He's back with you tomorrow. Plenty of things to get to as it was just a super busy weekend across the sports world, specifically in the DMV. Tons of news on the Commanders, tons of news on the Caps, the Nats. We'll get to it all over the next 3 hours. Debo Samuel, the big topic of conversation right now. Washington obviously moving him on Saturday to the San Francisco 49ers in exchange for a fifth-round pick. The current cap hit for Debo Samuel set at $17.4 million. We'll get to the potential ramifications of the Debo Samuel trade coming up here momentarily, but want to wet your whistle with that. Washington with a new weapon here offensively that I think is going to take this offense from unstoppable. Well, I guess you can't go from unstoppable, can you? Damn it, you get what I meant. It takes this offense from being great to being even better. I'm super excited about the move. I got this crab spot. Chris Russell knows about it. He was actually chastising me about it. Max, I think I've told you about my good crab spot.
You have not, and now I'm disappointed and mad at you.
Well, apologies to me. I know a big part of our listening audience is out there in Gaithersburg. So if you're a resident of Gaithersburg, if you're not a resident of Gaithersburg, man, Feasty Crab in Durwood. $45, all you can eat snow crab legs, Ooh. Headless shrimp, a raw crawfish, anything you want. But it was awesome. That's where I was Saturday when the news broke that Debo Samuel was getting traded to Washington. My initial thoughts on this, it is everything that this offense needed. It's everything that this offense needed. Anyone that looks at this deal and has any sort of reservations or doubts about it, stop being scared. If you're scared, go to church. That's my advice for you. Anybody that's fearful of any potential drawbacks to this deal, look, you're not ready to be a contender then. If you're not ready to take risks like trading for Debo Samuel, you're not ready to be a fan of a contending team. That handsome blue-eyed devil, Adam Peters, once again, striking while the iron is hot. If you've been listening to our local guys here, J.P. Finley, I think has been all over this kind of whispering and hinting at, hey, this Debo Samuel deal may have just gotten completed. And we got the news, it was Friday afternoon, right before I went on the air on the Infinity Sports Network. Jordan Schultz, or Floyd Mayweather, however you want to describe him, of FoxSports.com, their insider, put out a tweet that Houston and Washington were the teams that were described as most aggressive for Deebo Samuel's services. Obviously, connections on both sides. D'Amico Ryans, former defensive coordinator with San Francisco, his time overlapped with Deebo. And then, obviously, Big Adam Peters drafted Deebo Samuel. So the fit, I think, is going to be like a glove. We'll get into the details as the show rolls on here. But like I mentioned, big weekend in the DMV, big weekend nationally. I spent a lot of time talking about this, and maybe we'll hit on it in one of the 45 segments before we get out of here. We had one of the most controversial finishes that you'll ever see in the sport of professional boxing. Gervonta Tank Davis and Lamont Roach, two guys that represent the DMV very well when it comes to the world of professional boxing. They finished in a draw, super controversial decision. We'll talk about that in more detail as we roll throughout the show. Nats were big winners yesterday over the Astros, 4-3 in spring training. DJ Herz, a little bit of a concerning outing. I thought Trevor Williams, somebody that I'm super eager to see where his role is going into the regular season, he was pretty damn good yesterday in their win. I look at this Nats group, and we're still 3 weeks away from opening day of the season for the Washington Nationals. Every time I talk about this group, I say the same thing. And we kind of got some answers this weekend. There are a ton of questions still with this group. Who are going to be the five pitchers that you get to see week in and week out? Who is going to be your closer on a routine basis? We pretty much know what the outfield and the infield is going to look like from a defensive standpoint, but the lineup, I think, is still interesting. We got to see the spring training debut, of James Wood this weekend. So that was cool to see. Mackenzie Gore made his spring training debut. And that's who my money is on in terms of who the opening day starter is going to be next year for the Washington Nationals. He made his debut and looked damn good. The other big Nationals news that we got, and that cracked off about an hour and change ago, Mad Max. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. We are free at last. The Washington Nationals out of the Masson deal, now free to negotiate with, I think, the Monumental Sports Network as quickly as 2026. So congratulations to the Nats. Congratulations to the O's as well. Like, yes. The Orioles deserve. I know we don't talk a lot about Baltimore baseball around here, but the O's definitely deserve a round of applause as well. I think a big money deal is coming with billionaire Ted and Monumental. Did our pal Kevin Sheehan, did he touch on that at all in his one-on-one exclusive sit-down that he had with old Ted Leonsis? If you haven't listened to that, make sure you go download or get the Kevin Sheehan podcast, wherever you get your podcast, and listen to that. It was a really good conversation, but the timing of it is super relevant because it is going to be something that I think has a massive trickle-down effect. For those of you that have been frustrated about the lack of spending within the Washington Nationals during the off seasons, getting out of this Masson deal, I think it's the first step toward this group, right? Toward this group, this ownership group, the Lerner family, going out and actually spending. So we'll talk about that in more detail as we roll throughout the show. A lot to get to as we continue to, you know, react to the big news of the weekend. Deebo Samuel obviously traded from San Francisco to the Washington Commanders. You can line up on the phones and we'll take your calls on that at 301-230-0980. Your overall reaction to the deal, and then what is next for the Washington Commanders? I want to touch on that as we roll throughout the 1 o'clock hour. Elsewhere, though, around the DMV this weekend, Terps on Saturday had a big bounce-back win over Penn State. You all know how critical I was of them last week because of their late-game blunder against Michigan State. But Derek Queen, someone that I was pretty vocal about, saying, hey, you got to play big against the good bigs in your conference. He bounced back on Saturday against Penn State. 26 points for DQ. He was awesome for them. They got a big game coming up Wednesday. They're on the road. Last week it was against Michigan State. You hosted them. Now you go to Ann Arbor to take on Michigan, and that is going to be an absolutely seismic encounter as the Terps try to continue positive momentum. It builds a positive momentum, rather, as they get geared up for the Big Ten tournament. Caps, they're all of a sudden losers of three in a row after coming out of the Four Nations brink absolutely in fuego. The way I describe what's happening right now with the Caps offensively, it's like a really good team in baseball when they come out of the All-Star break and they're hitting homers out of the wazoo. And it's happening on a routine basis. I think what's happened with the Caps here over the last three contests is they have kind of come back and regressed to the mean a little bit. The goal scoring not happening at a frequent pace as we were used to. As they came, what was it, like 17-6 they outscored their opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of the Four Nations break, just colossal offensive effort. Max, you mentioned this to me, and I didn't even mention it. We talk about big news here relative to the D.C. sports scene. We're talking all things Caps. They ink goaltender Charlie Lindgren to a 3-year, $9 million extension, so that's good. We had Alex Ovechkin light the lamp one more time. He did it in the third period Saturday against the Lightning as the Caps ended up falling 3-1. Not a bad team to lose to either, as Tampa Bay is absolutely in fuego right now. Winners are 8 in a row. But the Caps got to get it figured out, man. 11 goals away, rather, from breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. No matter what happens here down the second half of the season for the Caps, I think we're all on Ovi watch, and we just hope that the wins keep piling up as he gets closer and closer to breaking that all-time goal-scoring record. 301-230-0980, the number, right here on the Chris Russell Show. Youngest in Charles and O. Willingham sitting in for a guy, Chris Russell. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll reset things. The Commanders making a seismic move at the wide receiver position over the weekend. They give up a fifth-round pick in exchange for Deebo Samuel. What does it mean for the offense? And then, more importantly, what is next for the Burgundy and Gold? We'll take your calls on that next. This is the Team 980. Just getting rolling here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest and Charles and L. Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell. We'll take you up to 4 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll pass things over to our guy, Craig Hoffman. He'll take you on your afternoon drive home. Programming note for you, coming up at 2:30, we get the other side of the Deebo Samuel trade. Matt Maiocco, NBC Sports Bay Area, going to join us at 2:30. We'll get the why as to how the Niners and Deebo have gotten to this point, man. It feels like we've been monitoring this thing ever since the Super Bowl. The one thing that I do want to clear up, Deebo Samuel wanted out of San Francisco. I wouldn't describe this as a situation where the Niners were trying to get off of money. All you continued to hear at the end of season presser from John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan was, hey, Deebo Samuel is part of the fabric of this organization. Deebo Samuel is part of the culture of this organization. We want him to be here for a long time. Deebo, fair or not, wanted a change of scenery, wanted an opportunity to be able to maximize who he is offensively. I think the fit here in Washington is like a glove. I really do believe Deebo Samuel has the chance to come here and completely resurrect his career. And before we start talking about and the tissues get pulled out and the tears start flowing, let's not act like Deebo Samuel, from a production standpoint, has just fallen off of a cliff. That's not what I'm going to do. I think there are reasons why the production's taken a little bit of a dip. And I also think there are reasons why you should feel really excited about what he can do in this offense. To simplify it for you all, think about last year, the amount of screens that Washington ran. Think about last year, the amount of underneath stuff that Washington tried to go with offensively. They didn't necessarily have the personnel to do it. You enter and insert Deebo Samuel, I think the potential of your offense is now limitless. As creative as we saw Cliff Kingsbury be last year, getting Alameda Zaccheaus to a career year, getting Noah Brown major production, that was via the scheme. No slight to those players and who they are from a talent standpoint, but to me, their production last year was based off of the scheme. You now insert Deebo Samuel, and I think this offense, like I said a moment ago, the potential becomes limitless. The best way I can describe it, talking about inserting Deebo Samuel, it's almost like getting Alameda Zaccheaus on steroids. And OZ was damn good last year. I thought OZ gave you a lot. But there were clear limitations to him as a receiver, physically and then overall from a potential standpoint. I think Deebo, when you look at what he is able to do after the catch, 9 yards for his career is what the average is for him after the catch. That is what Washington wants to do. Deebo Samuel is a horizontal player by scheme. In Cliff Kingsbury's offense, screens, jet motion, drive concepts, crossing routes, the catch and run ability. I really do think that Deebo comes in here and fills a major hole in void that Washington has on that side of the football. Does this mean that I'm not bringing back Olamide Zaccheaus? No. It means Olamide Zaccheaus now can act as a safety net to Deebo Samuel potentially getting hurt. And I know that's a big issue and a big concern for a lot of folks is, well, why did San Francisco want to move off of Deebo, right? Well, why did this group want to get rid of a guy that everyone continues to call the heartbeat of that organization from a toughness standpoint, what he means, the work ethic, all of that? Deebo's coming off of an interesting year. It's the best way that I can describe it. First 8 games of the season for Deebo Samuel, had 200-yard games, and then in the six games after that, he finishes with less than 54 yards receiving. And then in his final 7, he had 6 games with 22 yards or less. Last year, Deebo dealt with a calf injury, a wrist injury, an oblique injury, rib injuries. That, to me, is not the main reason for the lack of production for Deebo Samuel. I think the big thing that hampered Deebo Samuel, and we'll get more detail on this when our guy Matt Maiocco joins us in the 2 o'clock hour at 2:30 to give us the skinny from San Francisco, the ins and outs and how this relationship ultimately soured between Deebo and the Niners. But the big thing that I was told from Matt when I talked to him earlier this offseason was that Deebo Samuel dealt with pneumonia last year. Deebo Samuel had to be hospitalized on multiple occasions due to pneumonia. And you can Google it. That's the beautiful thing about 2025, man. You can go Google any piece of information that you're looking for. You Google Deebo Samuel pneumonia, and you'll get the story, and you'll get the skinny on how much time he missed due to pneumonia. Now, he obviously worked his way back into the lineup, but y'all know how it is when you're sick. You can be deemed healthy and good enough to come back to work, but it doesn't mean you're performing at your peak potential. And I think us radio buffs know that, right? You have the flu and you come back. You catch the flu on Thursday. You come back Tuesday. Yeah, you feel a little bit better, but your throat's raspy. You're breathing hard. So for Deebo, when you think about how pneumonia impacts the average American, right? Some people are hospitalized. Some people have to be put on respirators. Some people need breathing treatments. Insert Deebo Samuel into that situation, then add the caveat of, hey, I want to be a productive NFL football player. It's not easy. What he dealt with last year was not easy. So the narrative that Deebo was out of shape and Deebo is fat and Deebo doesn't work hard, and I don't buy any of that. Now, maybe I'm just being blind to this, and I'm looking at the man like he could do no wrong, but I look at this and think, damn. For you to come off of just a fifth-round pick, for you to have to part ways with just a fifth-round pick to acquire a guy of his services, sign me up. You hear me? Sign me up. You cannot begin to wrap your mind, or I cannot begin to wrap my mind potentially around like how big of an impact he will have on the offense. I was joking around with Max. Maybe I wasn't joking. I think he leads the team in touchdowns next year. You think about the way that they use the 2 running back set, the pony personnel. Think about it. Instead of it being Austin Ekeler and Brian Robinson, it's Austin Ekeler and Deebo Samuel. You think about the red zone stuff. Zach Ertz was a godsend on third down and in the red zone. You now add Deebo Samuel to that mix. You now add Deebo Samuel to that equation. All of a sudden, an offense that was super difficult to prepare and game plan for, just from the standpoint of, oh, they've got Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels, you now insert, and maybe I'm hyperbolizing it. Y'all get me back in check. You now insert one of the best offensive weapons in the National Football League to this group, and you watch what this team does. I cannot wait to see him lace it up. You know what I also can't wait for? I can't wait to hear from Deebo himself. Talking to the local media, really giving us insight as to what went wrong. Because I think the casual football fan looks at those two parties parting ways from each other and go, it's got to be something messy. I don't think so. I think this is just a situation where a player in Deebo Samuel wanted a change of scenery. Now, obviously, there are some financial ramifications that play a part in this, but I think this was a situation where the relationship between the two, I wouldn't even say that it's soured, because everybody you talk to in San Francisco talks about the relationship that Kyle and Deebo have. And I think that means a hell of a lot. I think that means a ton. But when you look at it this way, and you think about him getting a fresh start, him putting that behind him, I think you got to look at this and say, wow, it fits like a glove. Peanut butter and jelly is Deebo Samuel and the Commanders to each other. I just think it fits. 301-230-0980, the number right here on the Chris Russell Show. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, your calls, your overall reaction to the Deebo Samuel trade, and then I'll tell you what I think is next for the Washington Commanders. Your calls coming your way next. 301-230-0980, the number right here on the Chris Russell Show. Tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 4 o'clock. Craig Hoffman will take you on your afternoon drive home. A loaded show for you all today on the guest front. Our pal Matt Maiocco, who covers the Niners for NBC Sports Bay Area. He is going to join us coming up at 2:30 to get the latest on Deebo Samuel. What type of teammate is Deebo Samuel? How is Deebo Samuel in the locker room? Super excited to hear from Matt on that. Plus, do you think Deebo is looking for a contract extension? We'll get into some of the numbers surrounding Deebo Samuel's cap number for this year and what Washington could potentially do to lower that cap number as we move forward. But right now, I want to take your calls at 301-230-0980. Deebo Samuel, now a member of the Washington Commanders. Your reaction? I think it is a massive deal. I really feel like it's one of those moves, though, that takes a championship contender in Washington. Is it safe to call them that? If you weren't calling them a championship contender going into next year, I think this move is the first of many that will have Washington squarely in that contender conversation by the time next season starts. Because you still got free agency. You still got the draft. There are other ways for this team to acquire talent and get better, but it starts with getting Deebo Samuel. You needed another weapon on the offensive side of the football. I don't think their work there, though, is done. 301-230-0980, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Let's go to Dontell and Frederick wants to chime in. What's going on, brother?
Young, what's going on, young?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
All right, my man. All right, long time. Hey, man, but look, I agree with you 100% on everything, and I got a couple questions I want to ask you. First question is, these people that are saying that this is a C move and a B-minus move, what kind of football knowledge do they have? Do they know Deebo Samuels? It's just crazy, man. This guy brings so much to the table, man. It's not just like he's one-dimensional or whatever, because they're talking about Terry needs help and Jaden needs help. He's going to help both of them. Not only that, he will also help the run game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because in our screen game has been terrible, this enhances that. What do you think about that?
I think he enhances the screen game a ton. Washington ran the third most screens in the National Football League last year. You now insert Deebo, someone who has been one of the top wide receivers in yards after the catch via Pro Football Focus. Last year, he was sixth in yards after the catch. 2023 was first in yards after the catch. So that is what he does. You add him to this screen game, and imagine Deami and OZ screens go for 7 yards. Deebo's going for 15 to 20.
Exactly, man. I just don't think they understand. This man, it takes 5 people to get him down. One person ain't tackling him.
Exactly.
And that's what I don't understand, these B-minus stuff, man. They keep talking about the injuries. Man, do they know that everybody can get hurt?
But here's the thing, Dontell, and I appreciate the call as always, brother. We're going to get to the injury thing in a minute because I'm doing the work for you all. I told you all to Google it, but I'm the host. I guess I should bring it to you, shouldn't I? Deebo Samuel, this is a quote from Deebo Samuel last year. I honestly really couldn't breathe. I thought I was going to die. It was scary because it was hard to breathe for real. You can't take deep breaths. Think about how pneumonia impacts the common man. And I know a lot of us out there, us sports fans, we like our wings. We like our starches. Some of y'all out there is big. I'm big. When you big, you feel pneumonia just a little bit more, right? And depending on some of your extracurricular lifestyle choices, you may feel it more than the average Joe if you pick up what I'm putting down. But Debo really had to deal with this a season ago. This is legitimate. And when you think about, he described it as having an elephant on his chest. He was hospitalized for this back in October. So I look at the way he finished the season, right? And those numbers that I was giving you all, VR guy John Kime, who did a piece on ESPN.com. Debo Samuel last year in the first eight games of the season, 200-yard games, and then he finished six games in that eight-game stretch with at least 54 yards. And then in the final seven, he had six games with over 22 yards or less. Kime lists the calf injury. Kime lists the wrist injury. Kime lists the oblique injury and the rib injury. Why are we not talking about the fact that he had pneumonia? I think that is far more detrimental to Debo Samuel than a calf, than an oblique, than a rib. The pneumonia, to me, is the big reason why Debo may have had a dip in production last year. Now, I understand, right, if we're being objective about Debo Samuel, the dip in production was not just a 2024 thing, right? Let's call a spade, let's be real about it. The lack of production for Debo, we saw it in 2023 as well. But it wasn't some massive drop-off, right? In 2023, he missed two games. What do we keep hearing about Debo Samuels? Oh, he misses so many games. Oh, he misses so many games. He missed two games in 2023. Now, in 2022, he missed four. But you go back to 2021 when Debo was really looked at as the premier, you know, gadget guy in the NFL, the wide back, the introduction of that, 77 receptions, 1,400 yards, six touchdowns. That, to me, is what I want. Eight rushing touchdowns, 6.2 yards a pop on the ground. The rushing numbers last year is what really took, really put a hit in Debo's production, the rushing numbers. Because I think as a wide receiver, as a traditional wide receiver, he has limitations, right? Not a guy that's going to consistently beat man-to-man coverage. He breaks tackles, but the hands sometimes, I just look at the aggression that he plays with, the violent cuts, the ability to make dudes miss, the run after the catch stuff. That is what this offense desperately needs. That's what this offense desperately needs. And I think they've now got it with Debo Samuel. 301-230-0980 is the number. Your reaction to the Debo Samuel trade, and do you think it's a situation where Washington is done at wide receiver? And if they are going to go back to the wide receiver, well, hint, I fully expect them to. What type of wide receiver should they be looking for as we get geared up here for free agency? Let's go to Ken in Upper Marlboro. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, good, one man. Of the things, I understand the injuries, but I understand the injuries over the years and his production. But one of the things I question, for a man his age, what is he doing with the pneumonia?
What?
What is it? I don't.
What is that? Hold on. What do you mean? What is he doing with pneumonia at his age?
Yeah. What is he doing with his body? Where that comes into play? I just had.
He got sick.
I'm 60-something years old. Huh?
He got sick, brother. You don't know what type of pre-existing asthma Debo Samuel has, or anything like that.
No, I don't know that. But when someone's that young, especially younger than me, you start to question, what is he doing with this type of ailment?
Why is his immune system so bad, Linnell?
is that what you're saying? Okay, I mean, I don't look. No one's above getting sick. That's what I would say.
No, I understand that. I understand that. And any doctor would ask you that. At his age, because when you turn 50 or later into your 40s, that's when you start looking for ailments like that. That's when you start guarding against ailments like that. Especially you have deficiencies in your immune system.
All
I'm trying to figure out what this guy is an athlete.
Ken, all you got to do to get pneumonia is inhale infected droplets, just like getting sick anywhere else, like getting the flu, getting a cold, any of that.
I mean, yeah.
It's the same thing.
But if you, hey, here's my thing. If his immune system is not in question, I get.
I don't know, man. It sounds like it.
What? Yeah. That's what you want to question? So you think he's not eating enough fruits and veggies?
I'm saying, is that what you're saying?
He is fat.
Does he need to do the veggie dance? Yum, yum. Eat him up.
I'm saying to an understanding why he would catch that disease. I got it.
Okay.
I'm saying I got it.
Okay. I get you. No, look, you know how we get down on this show, man. We having a good time with it. I'm just like, it's a good question.
I know. It's a good question. But here's the thing. He's a hell of an athlete.
Yes.
He's a good fit. I'm not questioning his prowess in the locker room. None of that. I'm just questioning. I'm questioning his health. That's all I'm doing. I'm not even worried about his injuries because every player gets injured.
For sure. I appreciate the call as always, brother. 301-230.
Here's my last point.
Go ahead. Get your last point in.
Don't give him a long contract. That's all.
Okay. I appreciate the call, brother. 301-230-0980. Look, Deebo Samuel. In his immune system, is actually, I did not expect this conversation to go that way.
I didn't either, but here we are.
I would have called Dr. Chow on Twitter, the football doc, to come on the show instead of Matt Maiocco. Maybe we'll get some insight from Matt in terms of, was Deebo a guy that was eating fruits and veggies in the calf? Was he a guy that, you know, DK Metcalf out in Seattle likes the Skittles or whatever that is?
He loading up with starches like you and me?
You know, is that what it is? Is he hitting up the Ken dog? Is he going to Kenny's? Getting a steak cheese combo with extra salt and pepper on the fries. All I know is this. If he is healthy and right, and I fully anticipate him being healthy and right, he is going to be a godsend for this Washington Commanders offense. I truly do believe that. He is going to be a godsend. This is a number from our guy, Warren Sharp, of Sharp Football Analysis. Last year, Deebo Samuel had a 19.5% target rate per route in 2024. The number through his first five seasons in the NFL was 24%. So when we begin to talk about, well, why would Deebo want to move to a different location, when you sign Brandon Ayuk to a big-time deal, when you've got George Kittle, McCaffrey, he was upset about the lack of touches, and
Juwan Jennings disrespect by you.
Well, Juwan Jennings disrespect as well. Juwan Jennings is a guy that was also eating targets away from Deebo Samuel. Ricky Pearsall came on at the end of the year. So he was losing targets to other guys. So I would have to think that plays a part into him wanting to get out of there. But the contract, as the last caller just mentioned, I think we would be oblivious to act as if that's not a part of the equation. How big of a part of the equation is it? I don't know. But I do know this. He wants to get paid, and he's going to have an opportunity to come here and get paid. Here is my number one reason why I think Deebo Samuel will thrive here in Washington. A guy that's been written off by most people. Can we agree with that? Deebo Samuel has been written off by most of the general public.
If you look at Twitter, yes.
You look at Twitter, the idiotic Niners fans, people have written this guy off.
It's not even Niners fans, dude. It's
everybody.
It's people from right up the road.
Wow, isn't that something?
No. Not our sister city.
No, you're talking about literally right up the road. Oh, Philadelphia.
Correct.
You mean the Deebo Samuel's stepson, Philly?
They simply cannot stop.
They can't. But here's the reason, though, why I would bet on Deebo having a bounce back, borderline monster type of year this year. What did this offense show you last year? What did this offensive coaching staff show you last year? If you've been written off, disrespected, slandered, called over the hill, come to Death Row Records, baby. Come to Death Row Records, and we'll put you on. You come to the Washington Commanders, and you're an aging veteran, somebody that has been written off by the general public, we'll get you back on your feet, i.e. Zach Ertz, i.e. Austin Eckler. Noah Brown, someone that was also written off by the general public. He was cut from the damn Houston Texans. 301-230-0980 is the number. Let's go out to John in Falls Church. Wants to chime in. What's going on, John?
So I'm a lifelong 49ers fan, and I would say that after Jerry Rice, Deebo Samuel has been the most exciting best wide receiver we've had.
Wow.
In his time as a Niner. Like, obviously, like, Terrell Owens had a great career, but he spanned many different teams. He adds so much excitement, so much, like everything you've said already. You know, the only thing I'm scratching my head over as a 49ers fan is, why did we give up on him and take a huge cap hit? Like, what is going on, actually? And I don't think there's anything nefarious going on. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's kind of like,
yeah,
hey, you know, the Commanders traded away Jaden Daniels because he gets headaches or something like that. You know, and it's like, wait, I mean, it's not the same, but I'm just sort of scratching my head. Like, what's the catch that I'm missing? And maybe it's just he wants a bigger contract, but he has provided so much joy as a 49er fan. So many broken tackles, so many big blocks, so many things where the commentators go back and they say, like, watch this block. Watch him put his helmet right in this guy's chest.
He's a commander, man. And he embodies everything that they're looking for.
He's a great football player, is what he is.
Yeah.
He's great high school, college, pro, and I just hope his body holds up, because now that I've lived in this area for several years, you know, I want to see him succeed, and I've kind of fallen in love with this team as a 49er fan.
Wow, isn't that something, man? Well, look, we welcome you aboard the bandwagon, my friend. We appreciate your call, as always, 301-230.
And I will admit, I'm a bandwagon fan as a 49er fan. I'm a diehard 49er, but I'm a bandwagon
for sure. We appreciate your call, as always, my brother. Enjoy the rest of your week. 301-230-0980 is the number. Coming up at 2:30, we'll get the Niners side of things. Matt Maiocco, NBC Bay Area, going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on Deebo Samuel and the amount of time he missed last year. When we come back, though, we'll continue to take your calls, your reaction on the Deebo Samuel trade, plus we'll get into some of the financial components of this deal, and I'll tell you a way that Washington can lower the salary cap hit this year for Deebo Samuel. We'll get into that next, right here on the Team 980. 301-230-0980 is the number right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge of L. Willingham sitting in for a guy, Chris Russell. We'll take you up to 4 p.m. before we give you off to Craig Hoffman. He'll take you on your afternoon drive home. Programming note, coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, Matt Maiocco, NBC Sports Bay Area, going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on why the Niners and Deebo ultimately headed towards this divorce. Why they headed toward this divorce. I know what I said, Max.
You were close.
It was close. He'll give us the skinny as to why the relationship soured. We've kind of hinted at it throughout the show here to this point. I think it's a combination of different things. I think the contract is a part of it. How big of a part of it is, I don't know. I think the target share from last year has something to do with it. So this is via our guy, Warren Sharp of Sharp Football Analysis. Last year, Deebo Samuel, and this is just for last year, struggled after the catch when aligned out wide. So Deebo Samuel, after the catch last year, when lined up as a traditional wide receiver, 4.7 yards after the catch. 2023 was 8.2 yards. 2022, 8.5 yards. 2021, 9 yards. So there was an issue with his usage last year. We know that. And I also believe, and whether you all want to buy into it or not, of all of the injuries we listed that Deebo dealt with the season ago, right? We talked about a calf, an oblique, a rib, a wrist. I still continue to believe the pneumonia was the big issue with Deebo Samuel last year. And there are quotes from different articles online, which you can read up on and get yourself hip to. Deebo was interviewed by several different folks last year because people were concerned as to why he couldn't breathe. What was the issue last year for Deebo Samuel? And I think the pneumonia really played a part in this, man. And I keep comparing it to a regular person, right? Living with pneumonia is difficult. Doing everyday tasks like walking becomes difficult with pneumonia. But imagine sprinting and wearing pads and a helmet. Like, it's got to be tough. It's got to be tough. And Deebo outlined a point in time last year where they were getting ready to play Kansas City. And he goes out to pregame warmups, and he goes, probably when I went out there for pregame warmups is when I noticed I had no energy to run or anything for a while, Samuel said. Then I came in, and we tried to do a little IV to get energy. Gladly, we found it right after the game, and everything else was well. That's when they first discovered it, right? They first discovered it when the Niners lost to Kansas City during the regular season. And that was in late October. So to me, like, when you look at the timeline of how long it possibly took him to get over this thing, it would not surprise me at all if Deebo Samuel's dip in production and lack of targets and lack of availability, for that matter, had more to do with pneumonia than the other things. Let's go to Larry in D.C. What's up, Larry?
Hey, I just want to say I've lost a couple of friends to pneumonia, so it's a very serious thing. And he's probably lucky that he survived it.
Right.
And going forward, we do have excellent medical facilities in this area. So that bodes well for him. And as far as the him being here, I think that the defensive coordinators for the other teams, they will have to game plan for Deebo Samuels a little bit more than they would for some of the other receivers
for
that
sure.
we have here.
For sure.
Also, I think that the Daniels effect is what's going to draw people to this area, football players to want to come here and play with that guy.
For
so
sure.
That could have been something too. He may have decided that he had a choice between Brock Purdy and Daniels. He probably said, "Hey,
yeah.
I'm going with Daniels."
I couldn't blame him if that was the case, man. Look,
you make that choice, If I was a wide receiver, I'd be trying to get with Daniels, any way I could.
For sure. For sure.
Hey,
look, I appreciate the call as always, brother, man. Enjoy your week. 301-230-0980 is the number right here on the Team 980. Yeah, I mean, that's why I can't wait for Matt Maiocco to join us, because he's someone that covered Deebo every day last year and really can give us the specifics in terms of how much the pneumonia actually impacted him. I don't think there's any question that it impacted him. I really don't. I think as a fan base, though, we're so accustomed over the years to bringing in guys that were long in the tooth, that were coming to Washington to get a payday at the back end of their career. For years, that was the MO of this organization. Now that we have new people in place in the front office with Adam Peters and Lance Newmark and Josh Harris, more importantly, that way of thinking can go out of the window. They don't move like that. Every decision Washington is making is to improve this football team. And you can't tell me, and I love me some Alameda Zacchaeus, I love me some De'Ami Brown, I love me some Noah Brown, they ain't got nothing on Deebo Samuel. Point blank, period. So to acquire him while only giving up a fifth-round pick, I think is a massive steal. I said it a moment ago, the big reason that I look at Washington and go, yeah, they're the destination that can get him back on track. They've had a track record of doing this already. If I was to ask you what was the best thing that, Adam Peters and company were able to do last offseason outside of drafting Jaden Daniels, their ability to bet on veteran stars, Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner, Austin Eckler, all guys that were written off by other NFL organizations.
Tyler Biadasz, too.
Tyler Biadasz has been a badass.
It's
true. Anybody that didn't pay attention to that. But no, like those three guys in particular, I just think think about why they were available. The Chargers cut Austin Eckler. They wanted nothing to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Ertz couldn't get a nibble on a respectable contract.
He was on the Lions practice squad the year before.
On the practice squad. Bobby Wagner. Now, obviously, his production was out of this world, but still, to be able to get this type of production out of older guys, Dan Quinn, remember at the beginning of training camp, we were kind of, me and Chris Russell at least, we're kind of thinking like, damn, these are some short practices. They ramped their way up. They've got new nutritionists. They've got a new training staff. Washington knows how to handle injuries better than any team in the National Football League, from my perspective. Think about the lack of injuries that Washington had. Think about how well they did managing these vets throughout the season, to where Ertz and Wagner, your two oldest guys, they didn't miss a damn game. So I'd bet on them being able to figure out Deebo Samuel's health situation as well. 301-230-0980, the number here on the Chris Russell Show. First hour in the books. You're tapping into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'm sitting in for a guy, Chris Russell. We'll take you up to 4 o'clock. When we come back, we'll continue to take your calls on the big news of the weekend. Washington acquiring former Pro Bowl wide receiver Deebo Samuel for the Niners in exchange for just a 5th-round pick. What does it mean for the offense? And then what is next for the Commanders as we get geared up for free agency? What other positions do they still need to address? And I'll tell you why wide receiver still is a big hole for this roster. That's next here on the Team 980.